Welcome to the RevOps Loop podcast with Martin and Stepan, brought to you by Digital Reach and the Nonprofit Tech Shop. Get ready to learn about revenue operations, HubSpot, and beer.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the RevOps Loop pod. Today, we are covering building RevOps tools as side projects. So basically, we want to cover what actually works, what breaks, and what we learned building outside client work. And with that, let's jump into it. And Martin, let's start with, when did you start building some RevOps tools? How did you do that? And do you think that matters professionally and for yourself?
So I guess I set the stage a little bit. Building RevOps tools, a bit of a broad term. I guess we're talking specifically about, or broadly about, building these tools yourself with a lot of these platforms that are out there now, like a Replit, like a Lovable, where everyone is building apps and tools and automations for themselves. There's a lot of, that you can build there, whether it's personal or professional. There's just a lot of use cases for it. And then specifically, I guess, within RevOps, within our realm, right? I think this is a very common thing. I think both you, me, a lot of our peers as well are constantly building out stuff left and right. Some of them are productizing it and starting to sell and commercialize things that they've built. Others are using it a lot internally. So there's a lot of use cases for it. It would be just interesting to dive a bit more into, yeah, how exactly do you go about building these, and what are some of the benefits apart from just building out cool tools, just the process of building this out, what some of the benefits are there. And I guess what I would kick things off with, and this is, I guess, more from our perspective, is I do think it's a very typical, I think it's not by accident that a lot of the RevOps folks are building out these tools, are sort of on the forefront of a Lovable and a Replit, because it's kind of the name of the game in revenue operations, right? It's a lot of finding fixes for common daily problems, right? There's some process that's not working well. How can we automate or fix that or work around it, et cetera, whether that's anything on sales or marketing or general operations side, right? Leads are coming in, but they're not qualified. How do we make sure that we can pre-qualify more before we hand things off to sales, et cetera? Like, there's a lot of that thinking is very typical to RevOps. So I think that lends itself quite well to tools like this, tools that you and I can jump in on without
but let me stop you like just for a second. Like,
yeah,
I agree, but there's a ton of tools. Like, there's a ton of tools that are some tools that you use daily, the tools that are like just getting out, being like in betas, whatever. So what's the starting process like? Do I use something that somebody built, or let me learn to wipe code, to use Lovable, Replit, and do my own tool? It will take more time. I never used it, but like, why start there where maybe you can like explore the tools that are already in market?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first big one is, with these tools like a Replit, like a Lovable, you build something that's completely custom to what it is you need, right? The common thing is, if you're looking at sort of market tools out there, they're not always going to be 100% the right use case for you, et cetera. Whereas you get a blank slate whenever you open up a new Replit or Lovable tab, and you just start describing your problems, uploading your files, your sheets, things that you're looking to automate, and you build out your own tools. That's the first big one, is that it's, you can hyper personalize it, right? And it's this blank sheet of paper that you can start drawing on, and they make it so easy for you that you have a great starting point, right? You drop your, in human language, you describe your problem, right? This issue is happening, and therefore I would want a tool that automates these three steps. This is roughly what I'm thinking, right? And then you kind of build it alongside this tool. So you're learning on the go also, which I find interesting, how it's actually being built, right? I think if you take the time to not just feed it information and wait for it to spit out a perfect app, that never happens anyway. You need to go back and forth. But if you're actually like reading through and understanding, because it describes what it's doing in the background, it gives you a lot of insights. Like, hey, I'm using SQL for this, and then actually I've switched now to a Neo4j database. Why? Because it needs to be more relational. I'm quoting what I read recently, because this is a typical one that I just bumped into. And you learn from it, right? You're learning from it on the go. So I think that's the biggest one. I know for me, I'm using it mostly internally. Like, I haven't really focused much on things that we're looking to commercialize. It's more for internal processes, right? I think on your side, you've worked on a few that are a bit more potentially commercial. That's not the right word, but
yeah, I started with something that like can be commercialized, but then I like, based on some feedback, just like switch it to like be maybe internal for our team. And now it's both. And it, like, what is easy about, like, I use Lovable is like, I can just say, and like, maybe, give me a switch. Like, give me a switch about, yeah.
The tool that you built, Stefan, can you like describe it briefly?
Yeah. So once, like, I had an idea to like have a tool where somebody that's new to CRM, that's new to, I don't know, mapping the funnel, mapping the pipeline, like building maybe sales sequences, like a SDR, a junior one, that they can just easily put their thinking in a couple of boxes, and there's like an agent in the background that like takes all of this. It's very trained, and it will give you like next steps. I know you can do that with like Gemini, GPT now, but like people don't know how to prompt, and they're getting a lot. But like, these are specific agents. So for example, is like you want to like set up a pipeline in your CRM, and you say to it like, this is my sales process, but you're not thinking about the pages, the automations, what's possible in the CRM that you're using. So then that agent can help you and guide you, like, you need to build this, and this. So that was the goal. I'm still building it, but I think it's pretty good right now. And then I just switch it to maybe something internally that we can use to speed up some of the processes. But as you said, like, along the way, I did learn a ton about also things that I'm not aware, maybe some new features that CRM has now, maybe some associations that I was not aware that I need to set to maybe be more efficient in stuff that I want to build. So it benefited me a lot just regarding like building it. But it was, as you said, it was back and forth. At some point, I was like, do I need more credits or not? But that's basically the tool.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the credits, I did run into some credits issues at one point as well. And kind of reminds me, I guess, of one of the pitfalls there. And one that I've fallen into a few times is building out something you don't actually need, right? Because you can do pretty much everything, right? So, and I'm trying to think of like a specific example here, but essentially sometimes a process is just not right. I know you and I were chatting earlier about a project where we were working with these integrated CRM cards to host information from another platform. And looking back at it, that project is final now, but we didn't need that, right? And so we kind of went down a rabbit hole there of building out something because we could. Technically, we had all the capabilities to link platforms in a way that they weren't supposed to be linked. But then taking a couple steps back, say, hey, actually, there's a much easier solution. And we don't actually need these two systems to talk to each other. And kind of the same happens quite often when I start going down these Replit Lovable rabbit holes, where you type an initial problem in, it gives you kind of a peek as to what the fix could look like. It's a bit of the shiny object syndrome, where you see this nice app that looks super fancy and, ooh, and I can provide input here. And then it has a nice little loading icon. And then it gives me this nice summary of XYZ, but then you don't actually need it. But it's very tempting to just continue to go down that rabbit hole, which Yeah, I think on that one, I don't know about you, Stefan, but this is one that I've sort of had to learn the hard way, where it's I stop myself after creating these initial prototypes, and then these prototypes are usually in 30 minutes. You have a prototype at this point, right? Take 30 minutes and then walk someone through it before working more on it and say, like, does this make sense? Like, this is where what I'd want it to do. Is it something you'd use? Yes, no. Again, kind of stop yourself before you're building something out.
Stop yourself and maybe just try to trim it down. Like, are we, like, ask yourself, are we solving the problem that I got in the prototype, or we're just solving a piece of the app that I'm building? So it's like, you don't need to build the app with 5 menus, with, I don't know, seven different tabs, whatever. Maybe you're just solving one piece of the app, but like when you prompt it, it gives you the whole, like you said, shiny object thing. And you're just like solving this, and then you're solving this. Maybe you just need to solve 10% and just focus on that. And that 10% may be just enough to solve the whole problem, because it's maybe just a simple connector that you can use to, I don't know, change the data in a way that makes sense for the end user or for yourself, if you're building for yourself. And you don't need to use, let's say, 3 tools to change the data, because they, starting from the beginning, this is highly personalized. So if you know how data needs to flow out and needs to be automated or whatever you need, maybe that's just a little piece in the whole app that helps you, and you're good, and you can just like use it.
Yeah. I'll give you a good example of one where there's, and this is not professional at all. I forget if it was on Replit. I think it was on Replit that I started building out this gym app for myself, and very much got caught up in the shiny object syndrome, where I started feeding it all this information as to not just the best gym routines, but then also timing. When should you work out your upper body and then your back, compared to when the last time was that you did a curl and worked out your bicep, whatever. There was a ton of information fed into that. And then it gave this super detailed, you know, ideal flow of what your weekly schedule should look like, exactly how long it should take, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, kept going down, kept refining it. Problem is, how many people have a super, super tight schedule that they can stick to? Not many. I don't, right? So I ended up with this app that gave me like the ideal timing and flows and how many exact workouts I should be doing on which days of the week and at which times ideally. And then I had my actual life happening. I couldn't actually use it. So as a result, I never used this app that I created. I should have built something that's more flexible on the go, right? And so it was just this, and it's kind of ironic because it's 100% my own use case. But I think it's a good example of where the possibilities are there. You can feed it so much information that it gives you this super detailed workout process in this case, but it doesn't match with reality, because reality is I need something that's a bit more flexible, right? And that it gives me, you know, workout advice based on when and how and I'm able to do it. So
maybe you just want needed to build like a voice input app where you say, I'm feeling energized today and my legs like don't hurt, give me something for my legs. And like,
well, there's a good point as well.
Give me 6 exercises that I can do in 25 minutes because I need to go and pick my wife at her job in like 45. And then it just spits up that with a timer and you just start. Maybe like a couple I don't know, squats, a couple of fly kicks, whatever. And okay, I did my exercise. I'm good. I logged it and I didn't need to think about it.
Yep. No, exactly. And you bring up a good point as well, where you give it some information on how you're feeling, right? Again, I made this app like I was 18 years old. I'm not. I'm in my mid-30s, right? So some days you wake up and the body does its own thing. And so not every day I can just wake up like a machine and do work at the same rate. So yeah, 100%. Just a good example of where, you know, you went down a rabbit hole, or I went down a rabbit hole, which fixed a problem that I didn't actually have. Like, it fixed the wrong problem.
Right.
And I think that happens more often than not.
Yeah, and like while we're talking about it, like you started with why RevOps people are uniquely positioned to build this type of things. So you said like you're solving puzzles, you're learning new tools, you're doing mysteries. But like what else as a RevOps person is a good, I don't know how to say it correctly, but it's like, what else is a characteristic of that type of people that, okay, let's play with the new tool, let's do something.
Yeah, I think, and I guess can't speak for everyone, right? But I would say that part of it is also RevOps touches so many departments. So again, by nature, you're always forced to be curious in a way, right? Like if you work in RevOps, you have to know how sales operates and works. You have to know how product works, how marketing works, how finance works. Like you have no choice. And so I think by default, you kind of have this mindset of, okay, now I need to puzzle these things together. And you see firsthand where gaps are appearing, right? The most typical example is, you see memes about it all the time, and marketing is super happy about the 10 leads they sent to sales, and then sales, they kind of laugh behind their backs where it's like, these leads are shit, right? Like, what are we doing with this? And so you think, okay, you look at these two teams, you're in RevOps, you're like, one team celebrating that they got 10 leads, the other one doesn't take it seriously. There's a gap there, right? Like, how can I come in and help fix this somehow, either improve lead quality or improve the way these are perceived by sales, blah, blah, blah. And so again, I think that's sort of the mindset of building out tools like this as well, where it's, you see issues, you see gaps, you see problems, and you try to think, how can I puzzle them together, right? And this is where these kind of apps are a great way to help. But it goes beyond those apps, really, because even before that, I think if you're in this sort of techie RevOps type role, you're always doing this, right? With AI apps or not, right? You're always building out little automations left and right. And I think these are all, they all have the same benefits, which is you're digging into something, you're learning as you go, you're figuring out new tools as you go, and you're trying to solve for real problems. I think this AI app wave has just been an accelerator there, but it's, the concept is nothing new.
Yeah, the common denominator is like workarounds. It's like you're always building workarounds. Like this tool doesn't do this, but the client needs this, or the team needs this, or teams need this, and you're like, okay, let's do a workaround, let's do a no-code tool, let's do something else, let's do a custom integration. And now with all of these AI tools, it's easy if you don't have a coding background. But at the same time, like my take here is like, don't just focus on building it, use it to learn, because it will give you, like, you will learn something new. You mentioned learning relationship databases with like, why do we need this? I learned how I can do more like associations and a couple of things that will streamline the operations that I think are pretty good. And why is this beneficial? Like, later on in reporting and stuff. So like getting that out, not just like focusing, oh, let me prompt it and oh, this looks great, but like what's in the background?
Yeah.
What can I take?
Also just to understand your own tools, right? Because I know we chat about this in a previous episode, right? But if and when something breaks and your solution that you crafted through one of these tools all of a sudden doesn't do what it's supposed to do, troubleshooting can be a real pain in the ass if you don't truly understand your app inside out, not inside out, that's maybe the wrong, but if you don't foundationally understand how your app is built, like, hey, where would the issue be here, right? And I think this is where, again, I had that issue with an app I was building that you connect to your CRM and it pulls out all the data and puts it in a nice visual representation. That's where the whole SQL versus Neo4j database story came from, really, where I had the whole thing built on SQL and then that wasn't able to correctly build relationships between objects. Anyway, all that to say, at one point, the output was just not getting there, right? Every time I drafted it and I clicked go, I got this very strange visualization that didn't make any sense, like 5 contacts related to 25 deals, but none of them were actually associated to each other. Like, how is this happening? Whatever, didn't make sense. Where do you look, right? Because if you then don't know how to properly instruct this tool and say, okay, we need to work on the relational database. Like, there's something wrong between this object and this object. Why is this not associated here when it should be here? Blah, blah, blah. If you don't know where to go and where to point your questions, you're just going to be swearing in the chat.
And I think now I have another common denominator here is be the master of your craft, because you're saying, if you don't know. So you can start, you can speed up something, but if you don't know what are you wanting to get, or you don't know what you're doing, that probably will be another tool when you present that doesn't make sense to anybody that's maybe 10 years in that position, or a team that you're talking to, let's say a service team, and you're like, oh, I built this, but you don't know anything about their work, or you don't know how to correctly outline that and help them. So I think that's the main point here is it allows you to grow professionally. It allows you to learn as you go, but always question it and take these little pieces that make sense and learn from it, and don't trust it completely because it's not there 100%. And that's what I'm seeing on internet is there's a lot of wrappers, and it's the same stuff but different packages, enrichment tool X, enrichment tool Y, enrichment tool that does this but doesn't have an error or doesn't allow you to do this. So I think there's a picking how to pick the correct tool. I think we covered that. And but is there anything else there that
I'm gonna say, I guess, speaking of tools, because I know most of we've been touching about these AI app builders, right? Maybe we can just, and we haven't done this in a while, go through a few of our favorites. Remember, we used to use this ranking system of, is it overhyped, is it on point, or is it undervalued? So maybe we can go through some of those, and a lot of them we already mentioned quite a few times throughout. So do you want to maybe kick us off, Stepan, with your
I can be quick. So I mentioned Lovable, and I can rank it differently. I can say ease of use, 5 out of 5. I think pricing, I would say 4 out of 5. I think it's relatively cheap to use it. So overall, and what did I get as an output, and how easy is to build with it? I would say 4.5 out of 5.
Star ratings now. Would you say overhyped, underrated, or good value?
I would say good value. I would say good value because it's constantly, it's constantly improving. 3 months ago, they had a super base that you needed to connect by yourself. Now it's a Lovable cloud that is one click. Now you have a community that's relatively new, where people can share. You can post what you build, and people can use it and rate you. And maybe from there, you maybe have a little app that makes some money, and you can see if your ideas are valid or not. So I would say by that, I think it's 4 out of 5. That's what about you?
So you can easily push your apps live, public essentially. And actually,
it asks you, what is it? Is it a commercial app? Is it a business, whatever? Then you need to put I think 5 sentences mandatory, what it is, couple of screenshots from the app, and then you can post it. And then you have a ranking table, top 10 apps in the last month that people are rating. Is it good? And then probably at some point you can start chatting with those people now in the community. I didn't yet try it. And what else do you need me for you to maybe subscribe for $1 a month or something? So what about you? You mentioned Replit. Do you want to go with Replit, or is there any other tool?
I mentioned Replit. It's the one I've used the most. I'd also be curious to hear, because I know, have you used Replit as well to some degree? I know you're more on the Lovable side.
I'm starting using it because recently I read on a guy that I follow on LinkedIn that now you can build mobile apps.
Mm-hmm.
So like Lovable cannot build mobile apps yet. And so like if you want to post on iOS or Android, and that's where the people are, then you need a mobile app. So like Replit, what I read is that it can build mobile apps. So I will probably be trying to do that.
Because I'd be curious to hear like how you'd properly compare them in Lovable. Because I've tried Lovable a little bit, Replit more in depth. At first glance, they're kind of similar, right, in terms of how they work, sort of the ease of use. I think same as what you said on Lovable with Replit. It's quite straightforward. I think I have bumped into snags every once in a while where I feel like it gets stuck in a logical loop at times, especially for these longer threads, right? So there's a few that have been kind of building on and off for months, right? Every once in a while, I'll go back in, it'll pick things up. And some of those, it seems like they've hit a bit of a dead end where there's just like some functionalities and we're trying to fix it. And then I think there's too much historic information that it's building on. And then it's hard to, I guess, sort of sectionally reset it and say, okay, for this section, forget everything that happened before. Let's start from scratch kind of thing. We're like, it's almost a victim of its own memory. But again, that might be a me problem. It's a small thing, but otherwise, I would say that's probably maybe an underrated one. Maybe because I feel like some of the other ones get more love, although that's not true. There was a lot of hype about it initially. So it's either underrated or good value, but it's, definitely good app. It's not perfect. That's what a lot of people tend to go for when they start using these apps, right? You think you're going to get a picture perfect functioning app right away. It looks that way usually, right? You start and you get your nice first interface and it looks great, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done before it's fully operational. But I've liked using it. I'm continuing to use it, but I do need to make a switch to some of the other ones, the Lovables, I'm blanking on the name now. 44. What am I thinking of?
Base 44. I think.
Base 44. Yeah.
Base
44.
And when I think about it, it's like usually when I watch about those apps, it's like maybe somebody that's a developer or they're like very familiar how the app thinks and works, and then they can build like a perfect app in like 30 minutes, an hour.
What
I would like to see is like random two people from the street. Let's build something. Right. What's your idea in your head that you want to make an app? And then let's say you have 10 prompts to get there. You can do whatever. And then let's go backwards and see what can be improved. And like maybe a time lock that, like you said, stuck in a moment. Like, let me start from Monday, 5 p.m. when the app was doing what I wanted to do again. Mm-hmm. And let's do another prompt rather than can you undo? And it just deletes part of the database, not everything. So, but I think it's getting there, all of the tools.
I like the idea of, I mean, that's something we can organize internally, kind of like an app building contest where you get 10 prompts and everyone gets 10 prompts and who has the best app after 10 prompts. Again, just to get everyone used to working with these apps, right? It could be a nice introduction.
And then it's like, you prompted this way, but probably this is how you need to structure your prompts to be better at prompting. It's a learning curve, like a long-term learning curve.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. All right. Some good tools. Then, Stefan, there's only one thing left. Most important part, really. We got to review our beers of the week. You want to kick us off?
Yeah. So I brought my beer. It's already like half. It's Shimei. It's usually called white Shimei. It's like zinc scents. It's a pretty strong beer, but it's very drinkable. 8.2, I think. Why I bought it? It's like Christmas season. It's very cold here in Croatia. So I would like to do one or two glasses, and that's enough for me. So, and let's start with the ratings. So I will give it, like we already did the app ratings. So I will give it like probably like 4.2, because I think 4.2 out of 5 for this beer for me.
I would agree. Yeah.
What about agree. You?
What do I have is Encanto. I don't know it. You probably don't know it either. This is one that I just
never heard of. It.
Beer store to try and look fancy, I guess. I had no idea what I was picking up. Apparently, it's from the Philippines. I had no idea. It's honestly really good. So it's a honey ale, if you can read that. It's a honey ale, super sweet, super smooth, around 5.5%, something like that. But really extremely smooth when you drink it. Honestly, for like an end of day beer, it's great. I would not
like it as high. And for a Dubai weather, I think it's perfect. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, exactly. For like warm weather. Yeah, exactly. Cause it's a bit stronger than normal and than a normal beer or than a regular beer, but it's extremely light, extremely smooth. Wouldn't rate it as high as a Chimay, obviously, but we'll give this one a solid, I'd say 3.5. Can't really go higher than that. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's also nothing too special. It's nice. It's nice. I got a few more in the fridge, and then they'll definitely be used. So we're all good there.
That's good. As long as it's like a solid 3, I think that's a good beer. Yeah.
Honestly, would you ever? I don't think there's many beers that I would rate lower than a 2. There are some, but.
Yeah, I tasted some in my like life that was like, I'm not drinking this ever again.
Yeah,
I think I when have you get it too on like
special with the flavors. That's where I
too much flavor or like just like no flavor, or sometimes it's like too pricey for what I tasted, and then it's like it also impacts the rating from my end.
It's like, fair enough. But no, all good. So we got a 3.5, and what did you say? A 4.2?
I think 4.2. It's higher than 4, but I'm not giving it more than 4.2 because I think some other Chimays are good and some other like similar beers are maybe better.
Fair enough. Okay. Then Stefan, any last words on our topic of the day?
No. I think I'm good.
That sounds good. Then I think we can officially close the loop on today's episode on building RevOps tools as a side project, how to get started, and sort of some of the do's and don'ts. And as always, guys, please send through questions, inputs, any ideas that you'd want to discuss on the podcast. We're happy to read into those. So let us know, and then we'll see you in the next episode. Bye, all.
Bye-bye.